A. Potters. Welcome to episode 249 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! Yeehaw and stuff.
Yeehaw and the things and the stuff. It's been a week.
It's been one of those weeks where there's an idiom where, you know, a certain month comes in like a lion and leaves like a lamb. And
yes.
March is really kind of doing that.
Very much so.
I blame the full moon in Pisces.
Poor Pisces.
It's so strong that even technology is having the feels right now, and it's just not functioning as it would normally. So thank you, Pisces.
It just makes me want to add to our technical difficulties title card, because I mentioned it in chat, like, I need to get elevator music for something, because then it just makes it more enjoyable.
It's no longer a card, it's now a deck.
It's a deck. I gotta filter through it.
Because we have so many cards next to each other now that it's like a little flip book, and you can make it animate by flipping through all of our technical problems we've had.
I got four of them right now.
In fact, it'll be the This Is Fine dog.
Yes.
Drinking a cup of coffee. You'll see the fire animate.
It's always fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Speaking of fire. Because you know that's a great segue, and it's a very amber segue.
It's a very amber segue.
I did not light anything on fire this week.
Oh. Well, sad.
But that day is coming. Because I have to seal the edges of fabric. They're not easily sealed. And it may be that I have to take a butane torch to it.
Oh, okay.
Melt the edges so that they are sealed and do not fray.
That seems painful. So,
it's not painful as long as you keep the fire away from your fingers. You're not sealing the fingers, you're sealing the fabric. I mean, alternatively, I can always use one of those long campfire lighters that have the flexible neck that you can bend around the wind-resistant ones. Mm-hmm. I can use that, too. It basically functions the same way. It's just not as hot as a butane torch.
And you probably don't need a butane torch. That seems a little too dangerous.
No, but basically that's the kind of tool I need. I need the thing that makes the fire with a nozzle. That's basically what I'm getting at. And thankfully, it is now spring-like weather in Texas. We have, for the most part, gotten past the whole freezing, burning cycle thing.
Massive air quotes around that, please.
Yes, for those who are listening and not watching the vid, Val is, in fact, making a pair of air quotes.
Yes.
So that now I can go outside and work on stuff, in other words. It's still windy, so, you know, this is why I need a very controlled torch, not just open flame, because the wind's going to make it go everywhere. And then I can go outside and work on the things that I need to work on outdoors that usually involve smelly chemicals.
Yay!
And heaven knows I have plenty of masks at this point to be able to do that. Because yes, kids, you should wear safety equipment, even if you are working outside, especially if you're working with dangerous tools or smelly chemicals, or both.
Just in general. Just wear the mask in general. Just.
Well, you know, I don't have to wear the mask if I'm using my sewing machine. Or if I'm working with makeup or with wigs, as long as I'm not using smelly chemicals on the wigs. Generally, the things I can do indoors, I don't necessarily need a mask for. The only thing I need a mask for is if I'm sanding indoors. And you should wear a mask when you are sanding, because particulate will go everywhere. And your lungs are very precious, so safety first.
So they say.
Well, I'm not exactly the best role model for that. As I say, not as I do.
Yeah, exactly. Just listen to us, but don't exactly mimic what we do, because sometimes we do dumb things.
So the progress that I have this week is pretty much the same as last week, since I am still in the process of hand sewing or basting the layers of my really nice bridal satin together for my Athena dress. I am going very slowly because I don't want to stain it.
Mm.
And there are plenty of things around my workstation that will happily stain it colors that I cannot easily remove. So I have to be very, very careful when I work on it, everything has to be completely clean, wash the hands before and after I'm done, because right. you also don't want finger oils getting on it that you may not know that you have. And then I have to clear my workspace of everything. No food, no drink, nothing.
Yep.
Nothing that can even get close. Although, to be fair, I actually do have super glue.
You have all that the things.
That one is okay to sit there. I'm okay with super glue sitting there, because even if that were to spill, it'd be smelly, but doesn't, you know, dye my lovely fabric colors.
It just changes the texture of it.
It does, but even if I spilt the entire bottle, it wouldn't be a very large spot. There's not much in a bottle of super glue. Much to my chagrin, for as often as I have to use super glue, it's a wonderful thing to include in your emergency repair kit, which is also a very good thing to work on now that we're in the spring season and conventions are in full swing and all of that good stuff. Emergency kits are a wonderful thing to have. They can be a life-saving thing to have if you're cosplaying, especially if you're going out of town, because you won't really be able to run back home and get all of those nice repair things.
Right.
You know, tools, adhesives, safety pins, sewing, accoutrement, all of those things. You will wish you had them when your costume breaks. I think I have been there, done that enough times to be able to comfortably say that.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that's pretty much it for me this week. I don't have very much progress to show. I am sorry.
I think that is okay. I have progress to show. I have been working on my wig for my fun little costume and chopped off about 16 inches of hair from it. This was called I Really Wanted This Color. The only options available for it were in long hair form. So I had to buy the long wig and then cut off all the hair. And it looks really great right now. I'm very happy with how it's turning out. I still have a little bit more styling I'm going to do. I'm planning on taking all the wefts that I used from the other wig and I pillaged from the other wig and making them into cute little ears that I'm going to put on top. So yeah, that'll be good. Because you can see I did that nice little fun curling at the bottom of the wig. I had a little accident in the process. Hey, buddy!
That's why we say safety first.
I didn't wear my lovely little hot gloves before I picked up the curling iron. And guess which side of the curling iron I picked up?
Yep.
Whoopsie doodle. It's actually not
done that too.
Yeah, it's really not that bad because I've done it enough times. And funny, I think because of all of my years of needle pointing, like I have pretty solid calluses on the tips of my fingers. So like the one that I have on my index finger is already healed up. It took like 2 days and you can't tell.
I'm guessing it's probably more painful than anything.
No, it really isn't. Like right now, I still
pinch the nerves.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I honestly initially didn't feel it, and it's probably because it's so calloused on my tippies of my fingers. So it's just it'll be fine. It's just healing. It's still in the weird stage where it's a blister and it hasn't popped open, and I'm trying not to get it to pop open, so I'm trying to take care of it, but I don't have the appropriate bandages, so I'm just using what I got.
It does not count as blood, sweat, or tears put into your efforts.
It was just me just going, ow.
Ow.
Why did I do that? And then running immediately to the bathroom to run it under cold water.
Yep.
Because I'm smart.
One of the first things that you will learn as you work on cosplay is basic first aid.
Because it happens. It's
will
inevitable.
Get hurt.
It's inevitable. It's gonna happen. Whether you accidentally sew through your finger, I have yet to do that, by the way. But I know a lot of people who have, which is just like, how do you do that?
There's real wood. Why do you put this out into the universe? I don't even have real wood near me. Thanks. I'm gonna have to go knock on real wood here shortly because I have several 2x4 planks over there.
There you go. You can do that. But I mean, I've done the thing where I've gotten super glue stuck like on my fingers, and because the tube was broken and I didn't know it was broken until I picked it up. So that, trying to get that off your hands, that's a pain in the butt.
I have made friends with acetone for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad I had acetone. It still did take off a couple layers of skin in the process, though, because when it happened, it was just like, oh,
Oh yeah, it
Oh,
will.
oh. Yeah, that was not fun.
For those who don't know, acetone will remove superglue.
Yes.
For the most part. Now, that is on skin.
Mm-hmm.
That is not necessarily on things. It doesn't always work on things, especially if said thing is porous.
Yeah.
And it absorbs the superglue. Acetone won't really help you there.
You might get lucky that when it dries, what you can sometimes do is flash freeze it. You chuck the item into the freezer and let it sit there long enough so that way the super glue gets frozen-ish that you can kind of like peel, chip it off. It's not a guarantee though, because if there's certain materials like certain fabrics, like once it soaks through, it done. Like if it's cotton, you ain't getting that out.
Wood and foam are the same way.
Yeah.
Because they're porous. Incidentally, I've been known to chuck tools in my freezer before.
That doesn't
if they
surprise
overheat.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. If I use my Dremel to the point where it starts getting hot, like burn your fingers hot, I will chuck it in the freezer. Again, do as we say, not as we do.
Definitely not as we do.
I can't count the number of times the food in my fridge has come out smelling funny because I would put mold. Not mold, like disgusting food mold. Like casting mold.
Molding materials.
Molding materials. And I put that in the fridge because it tells you to. Because it helps to solidify it because of the chemical reaction that's taking place. It slows it down a little bit and makes it firmer so that you get a better mold. And they'll tell you to put it in your fridge. Well, then all the food in my fridge started tasting slightly of that same smell. So be careful what you put in the fridge.
Right.
And freezer.
And the ovens.
Especially with the oven. Don't bake clay in the same place that you bake your food. And no, Shark Hater, I did not ever forget the Dremel in the freezer. And that's mostly because I had to use it promptly afterward. I would only leave it in the freezer long enough where the core to cool off to where I could touch it, and then I'd promptly pull it back out and start using it again. And then it would overheat, chuck in freezer, lather, rinse, repeat.
She has a system.
Yes. If I have to use it for hours at a time, it's not designed for that. So I kind of have to MacGyver it a little.
There you go.
It works. I'm lengthening the life of my tools by not spreading them out. That's what I tell myself.
Ah, goodness. Well, yeah, so that was my cosplay update. I worked on my wig and I hurt myself. Go me.
Well, go you for the first part.
Definitely not the second part. My over 35 plus
like,
self
how to address
is...
that.
I know, right? I'm just like, man, I feel like such an achieving adult that, you know, I'm still able to burn myself at my own age. It's great.
Given how often I end up doing things with fire, I'm surprised I haven't done it more.
I know, right?
This is why the first time I took my fire poi out, my dad brought a fire extinguisher.
Smart.
And I was actually mildly insulted because I thought it was insulting my ability to spin fire poi, which I am decent at. But no, it was for safety.
It was for safety purposes.
Thankfully, I did not need the fire extinguisher. I've only set myself on fire. It was only a tiny little patch on my jeans that promptly went out. So there. Anyway, shall we move on to today's cosplay topic?
Yeah, let's move on to our topic. And this might be a good one since we have so many people in the chat room that they can actually kind of contribute to this too. So this will be great. Mm-hmm. So the topic that I brought up to Amber was, is cosplay becoming too exclusive? Why tutorials, influencers, and businesses may be pricing out hobby accessibility? So the reason this came to be was that from my experience lately, as I've been following makers and cosplayers, people that I've been watching for years and years and years now who do a whole ton of tutorials on just various things, not just cosplay stuff, but sometimes they'll do cute little crafty things that they post up on YouTube, like, hey, make this little book nook out of cardboard. And it's like, cool stuff, great. Just over the past couple of months, I'll see a new tutorial come up, I'll go watch it or I'll go read it and read the captions for it. And they usually start out, you know, pretty straightforward, like, you know, hey, here's a list of the materials that you need. And they're fairly reasonable materials, you know, EVA foam. Okay, good stuff. Step two, go ahead and download our very expensive template that's like between $49 and $59. Okay, that's okay, sure. And then by step three, it's go to your $5,000 laser woodcutter to upload your template and start cutting something out. Or use your industrial embroidery machine with the template that you just purchased. And those of you who don't know, industrial embroidery machines, they're like 3.5K and higher, like more like 15K.
They're four figures.
Yeah, they're really expensive. So by the time it gets to step three, I just close the video and then do something else because I'm like, yeah, I can't, at this point, no, I can't do that because you want expensive tools that I do not have and I'm no longer interested. And normally I wouldn't think anything about it, but it just occurred to me that it's like, hang on, I've been doing this for like half a year now. I'm not getting the tutorials that I used to see where it was like, yeah, I could totally do this at home. Now it's like, you need to have the really uber expensive tools to complete this project. And it's not just me that's seeing the sentiment. I see this too on like Twitter and TikTok and Instagram, you know, like, why are things we need to cosplay so expensive? It's like, holy fudge. Yeah, we are talking about cosplay in such a way now that we're really pricing people out.
And those, even tools that aren't expensive, sometimes they'll be complicated. Like, you have to use this template in a 3D printer.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, 3D printers, you can get a really cheap one for like $250, but the learning curve on those can be fairly steep.
It's really, really steep. And for some people, $250, that's a lot of money to get started
on
your first
costume.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a nice costume.
That's a nice costume. If you make it yourself, that's a really nice costume you could make. Mm-hmm. And I think it's difficult because I know for you and me, we have a mindset where if we see a tutorial and it's like, okay, this may not fit in our budget, but maybe there's ways we can retool it to make it work for our budget, doesn't necessarily work for all people, especially since the internet has created this instant gratification culture that we live in now, that for those who are new to cosplay or just starting out in cosplay, or they've already made one and they want to do something different, when they see the tutorial that calls for the expensive product, it can kind of be discouraging because it's like, I can't make that level of success. I can't achieve that because I don't have ABC product that costs $5,000. I can't afford it.
I would say, alternatively, they may not be able to do it yet, asterisk. And I say that because we've also been cosplaying for a long time. And with that length of experience comes the ability to kind of MacGyver things.
Yeah.
If we need to take one of those tutorials with uber expensive or uber complicated tools and simplify it a bit or slim it down a bit, maybe kind of do a lesser version of it that kind of has the same effect, but it's much easier on us, we have the experience to know how to do that because we've had to, you know, re-engineer other things for other costumes while we were learning how to cosplay. It just takes time. It's not something that you'll necessarily just be able to pick up, you know, and 2 weeks later you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This can take years to know how to do that. And as you said, this is an environment currently where people have the expectation of being able to do it very quickly.
Yeah.
Or being able to accomplish it or receive it very quickly. And there's not always that patience, especially if you know in advance, oh, well, it's going to take me 2 years to learn how to do this. You have to kind of have that patience and keep your eye on that goal to be able to hold out for that long. Because otherwise, people can not only walk away from that costume, they'll just walk away from cosplay. Because they'll think all of cosplay is like that. Especially now in the age where when we started out cosplaying, there were still people literally making cardboard Gundams.
Heck yeah.
And everybody knew, you know, I can do that. I can definitely do that. Anybody can do that level of cosplay. It just takes a little bit of perseverance, some materials, and a little bit of know-how. There's plenty of tutorials for that. Now when you go out and cosplay at conventions, you see near movie-level costumes from some of these people. And that can give a really mistaken impression of this is what cosplay is.
Mm-hmm.
This is how everyone cosplays. This is the expectation. This is the standard. When no, that is not the standard, and it has not always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the impression we're starting to give with all of these new tools and these more expensive synthetic materials and these really complicated techniques that people can do now, because we've had that experience. We've had time to develop these. So I think it can be kind of intimidating,
yeah,
especially at some of the bigger, nicer, like video game level conventions like BlizzCon or the uber large Anime Expo, New York Comic Con, that sort of thing, where people bring out their A-plus game.
And the thing that people don't really tell you about, especially from like BlizzCon, because I've been there before and I've talked to people, when you actually get up close and see the things, a lot of people will tell you like, yeah, I've been building this for 2 years. They didn't build it like a week before it was due. Like, I've been working on this for 2 years, and this is just made out of like cardboard, and this is made out of this, and this is, it's really basic, simple materials. It's just taking what they had available and spending a long time working on it. It's mm-hmm. really hard to do with this churn and burn culture that we have on social media, where we're kind of expected to just pump out costumes like this and have something new every single week. It's impossible to keep up with.
And I think people have gotten somewhat accustomed to having inexpensive imports.
Yes.
In terms of costumes. And so there's something of an expectation that the price of a cosplay, even a fairly complicated cosplay, we'll say, if you have something out of Code Geass or Black Butler, the really fancy ball gown type things,
sure,
the Lolita type things, people will look for these sorts of costumes and go, okay, I want to pay $100 or less for that. And it's like,
no.
You realize that materials alone are $100. We can't, you're basically asking for free labor at that point, mm-hmm. and free shipping, because they have to get it to you. And I think that having that sort of wealth of inexpensive imports, not just from places like Party City and, you know, Spirit Halloween and such, but even if you go to online cosplay houses or cosplay shops, it's still fairly inexpensive to get, you know, a decent quality costume. They've gotten better with their quality. But then you go to commission someone or make it yourself, and suddenly you can be floored by sticker shock.
Yeah.
Because you realize that, well, it actually probably cost them quite a bit more to make that than you're pricing it at.
You really think, especially if you want to start adding in all those little bells and whistles, like it's not only more expensive to get the materials, but it takes way more time to produce all that content. You want that nice applique or embroidery. Yeah, that's a lot of man hours that just can't be done on a whim.
Even if you do it by machine, it still takes time.
It takes time. If your machine messes up, oh, Lord help you.
And even then, for some of those designs, you have to have, like Val mentioned earlier, industrial level embroidery machines, because the $250, $300 embroidery machines that you can buy at, say, your local hobby store, you can do simple designs with it. But you can't do anything complicated like multicolor designs or really intricate designs that maybe the lines are a quarter of an inch thick at most, like all sorts of intertwining things. Anything that's more complicated than, say, you could paint by hand, you're going to need a very nice embroidery machine for it that accepts computer input. And then you have to learn how to use it and design on it, which takes, you know, time. You have to learn
a lot of
how to program on it. Oh, yeah.
Whole lot of money. Those machines are gorgeous, but man, the other thing they don't tell you about is the plate size for your actual embroidery,
yes,
design. The cheaper the model, the very, very smaller your stitching area is going to be. You have to move that plate around a bajillion times, whereas the nice, big, large machines let you do the larger designs. So, yeah.
3D printers are the same way. The really cheap ones, the ones that are $400 and less, if you're lucky, you get a 4-inch by 4-inch or a 6-inch by 6-inch print space,
mm-hmm.
which about yay big. That's, you know, not, it doesn't even cover my face. So it's enough for maybe small jewelry pieces, small accessories, maybe very small pieces of armor decor. Not even full pieces of armor, but armor decor.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to actually be able to make things like full armor plates, like think stormtrooper size armor plates, you're going $2,000 and up for that kind of a machine. And even then, you have to know how to design for it. You have to use 3D modeling tools because the printer doesn't come with a whole library of patterns to know how to do the things you want it to do. You have to make those patterns or you have to buy them.
You have to buy them.
Which
yeah.
are also expensive because you're paying for somebody else's time and expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that people will tell you in tutorials, oh yeah, go use Blender. Blender has an extremely high learning curve.
That learning curve is so steep.
It's not even a curve. It's like a vertical line.
It's like you go straight up a cliff. You have to go like completely cliff climbing all the way straight up vertically before you hit that edge.
Right. I mean, I have used Blender. I have tried to teach myself Blender, and it is not
the easiest
thing in the world. I mean, you get what you pay for. If you want someone else to do it for you, then you're paying for those, you know, person hours to leverage their expertise and make the complicated patterns that you need. That goes for embroidery machines, 3D printers, basically any kind of tool.
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, anytime you have to go use a tool at a makerspace, it probably has the same cost as maybe a small car. So if you ever come upon a tutorial saying, oh yeah, well, you know, take it to your local makerspace and have them help you use a sandblaster or a laser cutter or a CNC machine. Those cost the same as a small car. The average person is probably not going to have one in their home for everybody else to use. So even if you are able to go use it, one, you have to pay a fee to get into the makerspace because it's not free.
Right.
And two, you may have to pay a fee for someone to help you use it because it takes expertise and certification to be able to use those machines. So it's still not free even if you take it to a place that has those tools for you. And that can also add up fairly quickly because makerspaces have to recoup the money that they paid for those machines. So of course, membership fees are not the least expensive thing in the world.
Yeah. What it comes down to is if you want a costume of high level quality, super, super fast, you're going to have to pay for it either in money or in time. And for a lot of people, neither one of those are negotiable. They're like, well, I want the costume now, but I don't have the money to pay for it. Well, if I can't get what I want now, I'm just not going to do it. And so they just throw themselves out of the running for it. I do want to read a couple of these comments. We've got some great ones in here because Going Ape Costume said that.
I was looking at that.
Yeah, I think tools are only as good as the user. Some of the most gorgeous pieces of art were done before electricity, which is 100% true. It's something that I say quite often, particularly with photography and camera work. Like, you can give somebody the highest end $1,500 DSLR camera that's on the market right now, but if they don't know the basics about frame rate, about the shutter rate, about focusing, about finding your focal point, it's just going to be like they stay on the auto mode at all times and just get okay shots because, you know, the camera's doing the work for them. They're not doing the work for the camera. But if you have a professional behind that camera, it can make something look amazing. In fact, that's the beauty of having cameras on our phones is professional photographers have done amazing things using their $200 phone compared to their $1,500 DSLR. It's all about the user behind it, and that can make a world of difference. But that's not something that's talked about very often in any of these mm-hmm. tutorials. They're just like, go use the sandblaster. And I'm like, wait, hold up. Let's roll back here. One, do we need the sandblaster? Two, not all of us have access to the sandblaster. Three, are you sure everybody should have access to the sandblaster? Could have some complications there.
We've had hand-sewn costumes win prizes at cosplay contests.
Mine!
Entirely
best in show right here. My very first contest. Mine was completely hand-sewn.
Yep. So you don't need anything more than literally a needle, thread, and scissors.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any machines at all.
It's just you got to pay in time. That's the hard part, and it's just finding the time to do it. If you're a younger person, you may actually have a lot more free time than some of us old fogies over here because, you know,
Not that old.
we really are not that old. And it's funny, if we're in the anime scene, we're old. But if we're like at comic book or video game conventions, we're still young. So
We're
it's just,
young.
we're super young. So we're just like, whatever, okay.
And as far as people sometimes promoting expensive tools because of
Yes,
maybe sponsorship deals
sponsorships,
and
which
that
I
sort of thing.
get.
Right. That, if it is the case, needs to be disclosed.
Oh, yeah, it has to be legally.
At least, certainly ethically, if not legally. So if you ever see a tutorial where they're using tools and they don't say anything, then I would probably ask some questions about whether they had been donated those tools in order to do that tutorial specifically, or if they are, you know, having been lent those tools to do the demo for them. In other words, be a spokesperson for the brand. So yeah, that's totally possible that they are being sponsored and of course would promote those tools. But again, not everybody has access, even if they are demoing it for a specific tool. Like they can be demoing a Singer embroidery machine that's $800. That's great. My local store doesn't carry them and I don't have $800 lying around. So it's a great machine and I can sit there and try it during the demo, but I can't own one, which means I can't really do anything with it in terms of making my own costumes with it.
It always seems like such an interesting trade-off to me, and I'd be curious to find out the numbers. Not like they would ever publish any of these, but I'd be curious to see if, you know, there's this $1,500 machine and one of your favorite cosplayers promotes it while doing a tutorial for something. How many of those machines actually get sold? Because the clout that they're getting from that is not going to be from the views, or there's no additional advertisement money that they're going to be making. So how much money is the manufacturer of that product actually getting from sales, knowing that the cosplay crowd is kind of all over the spectrum as far as our monetary means are concerned. I think I would assume that most of us tend to lean towards like maybe middle to lower middle class. I mean, the hobby itself is it's an expensive hobby. I mean, let's be frank. I mean, even on the cheap end of it is a little expensive, but I would imagine that most of us probably spend like what, 250 per costume? And we can't imagine doing more than that.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't imagine more than that.
Yeah. I'd be curious if those
Especially for
numbers are too.
costumes that I'm probably only going to wear a handful of times. If it were something that was going to last me for years, then I might be open to spending a little more on it. But also consider the fact that, again, this is a hobby for most of us, not a
Right,
business.
not a
In other words,
business.
it's not our income. And so these are not costumes that we're going to wear on a regular basis. You might wear it 2 or 3 times a year, depending on how many cons you go to. For that, only wearing something 2 or 3 times, like think about if you bought a nice dress or a nice suit to wear for a special occasion that you only wear maybe twice a year,
Right.
or a nice family vacation. Are you going to spend, you know, $800 on it? Probably not.
Depends on
You'll
you.
probably. Right, you'll probably go with something that looks nice but isn't going to break the bank, which is pretty much what we all do with our cosplay. We want it to look good in pictures because that's part of the reason you make cosplays, to have your picture
Right.
taken.
We want to look nice.
You don't want to break the bank.
But yeah, I'd be curious to see if how much money, like it, just for the big machines that we know cost a lot of money, how much is that in return on the investment, and if it's worth their time to continue promoting in such a way. I would rather them try to promote some of their other more affordable machines and push those out there. Something like, hey, this is only 150 bucks. That can actually like utilize this for multiple projects. That'd be cool. But you know, I've yet to see one of those, so.
Now, I would like to point out, and this is only my opinion. I don't speak for Val on this, but this doesn't mean that we're calling for more 101 tutorials.
No.
That's not the point of this. The point is that you can still do complex tutorials and do, you know, cosplay 102, cosplay 201, cosplay 301. You can still do those and do it using equipment that the average person would be using. You don't necessarily have to do those tutorials on expensive equipment, or if you do it on expensive equipment, have an alternative.
Yes, that was one of my suggestions on how we can improve those.
No, can't do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you say, okay, well, you need to do this on a laser cutter for maximum accuracy to apply these decals. Let's say it's for Zelda's dress. Okay, well, you need to go and take some vinyl and go run it through a laser cutter so that you can apply it to the bottom of her dress. Fine and good. What about those of us that don't have access to a laser cutter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe you should have the alternative of going to Joanne's and using a Cricut.
If they let you.
Well, no, as in you can purchase like the $99 version of a Cricut so that it's not a $2,000 laser cutter. It's a $100 Cricut that does an okay job of cutting out vinyl. It won't be as accurate and it won't be as pretty as a laser cutter, but it will still get the job done, and it's much more affordable for, say, the average cosplayer to obtain than going out and buying a laser cutter or having access to a makerspace that's local to you to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that alternative is really helpful.
And definitely would want to do more promotion of the cosplayers that do the tutorials that just focus on the bare bones basic, like, this is what I have in my house. I don't have any fancy tools or equipment, and I'm going to show you how to make the thing. Mm-hmm. So do the thing.
It's very much kind of in the vein of closet cosplay, where you make a cosplay with whatever you have around the house.
Yep.
It's making cosplay with whatever components you have around the house. Same kind of thing.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this before, but a lot of it is also just going back to the mindset and just really putting it out there, the honesty of what cosplay is. Like, it's not this churn and burn cycle where you can pump things out in a day in order to get your 5 seconds of TikTok fame. It's just not feasible. It takes time. And if you want to have a costume that you really care about and put a lot of effort into it, a lot of value into it, it's mm-hmm. going to take time. And there's just no way around it. And we need to set that as a realistic expectation and to stop promoting the con crunch culture that also emphasizes the need to just rush out these costumes. Like, no, slow down. The judges at the judging table do not like you con crunching. They care about your health when you say things like that. Please don't do it. I mean, honestly, as long as the costume looks amazing, we don't care if it took you 5 months or 5 years to build it. As long as you take your time. And I think mm-hmm. that needs to be emphasized more than anything, is just the realism of what cosplay is, not just the speedy culture that we've just become accustomed to that does not really exist.
If you don't have a costume in time for a convention, it's okay.
Nobody cares.
You can always bring a casual cosplay with you just in case, so that if you don't have a cosplay done, you still have something awesome to wear that people can take pictures of, and you can just finish the cosplay after the con. It's perfectly okay to do that. In fact, it's a good thing because it means you're looking out for your health.
Yes.
That should come first. If you're exhausted after making a costume the night of... I was going to say the night before a con, but for some people, it's the night of a con. If you're exhausted, you're not going to enjoy your time at the con wearing that costume. It's much better to enjoy the time that you have at the con as an experience
mm-hmm.
than it is to destroy yourself by trying to get a costume done in time.
Yeah, Sharkhater100's got a very good comment. You can make those cheaper options look really good with enough time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's amazing what paint can do to take something that looks like foam and transform it into leather. I've got a tutorial about that here on the channel just for that mm-hmm. reason. It's amazing what a good paint job will do.
We have an entire episode talking about con crunch,
yes.
which you guys are always welcome to go back and watch as well. We have been there and in fact done that.
Oh, man, that's such a good quote. You should take your time and enjoy the journey making the costume, and it'll make the reward that much better. Oh, that is just... Bravo. Bravo.
I agree with that.
Bravo.
That is A-okay with me.
Yes. It's so much more fun when you finish it and you know it's complete and you know you did everything the right way and the way that you wanted to and it looks just the way that you like it. Because I think that's the other thing too, is that with Kong Crunch, when you rush so much, you miss out on all the little details and the fun things that you usually might do with the costume because you're just trying to get it done. Like, I want to make it wearable so I can have it on my body Saturday nights for whatever thing that I'm going to be doing. And you don't get a chance to put in all that fun bling and style it up and make crazy hair colors or do whatever you want to your costume. It's just, I got fabric on my body. I've done my part. And you're like, but it's not really finished. And it doesn't feel completed. And it doesn't feel as special because you rushed through it.
Plus, then you associate that costume with stress.
Yes.
So even if you wear it afterward, once it's already done, every time you wear that costume, you're going to have the memory of the stress you went through making it, and it's not going to feel as fun.
You'll keep looking at it and go like, okay, maybe I'll go back and fix it. Probably more often than not, you're going to be like, oh, this costume just stressed me out so much. I don't want to deal with it again. And then you may not touch it, and you right. just feel like all that time you spent crunching was wasted when you could have taken your time.
And that stress and anxiety is what makes you want to leave cosplay. We don't want that for you. We want you to have fun.
We want you guys to enjoy it. We just got to set up realistic expectations that this speedy cycle of instant gratification, it's not real in cosplay. Try your best not to fall into that trap because it just, no. You can make amazing looking costumes on bottom of the shelf quality materials and tools. It just takes more time. This has been delightful. And I already see what our topic is going to be for the after session. I love it.
Well, unless we have anything else, we will call an end to this episode 249 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know whether you believe that cosplay is becoming too exclusive, or let us know what sorts of experiences that you've had trying to make cosplay more accessible for other cosplayers. Or, of course, if you'd like to tell us how we can use Nick Cage to help make cosplay more accessible and affordable for those who would like to join the world of cosplay who haven't had a chance yet. Please feel free to let us know and join in on the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
Those who are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. If you are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
Or, of course, you can email us. podcast@cosplay.org, where you will get a response from both of us, more or less including Nick Cage moves everywhere.
I've done it on every email for the last 3 months. So yeah, I still have plenty of memes to go through and I'm happy to continue sending them.
And of course, we have spring and Easter coming up, so there will be more opportunity for Nick Cage memes.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays so that we can all dress up and meet together at our local conventions as soon as possible. We'll see you guys next time in episode 250. Yes, that's right, 250.
250.
Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.